And live from St. Hubert's Cathedral on the north shore of Lake Pontchartrain, we begin a brand new year of Saturday Outdoor Shows. Welcome aboard, and we will be reaching our 36th annual anniversary this coming summer of doing this program, and thanks for being part of it. Well, unfortunately, we start off with some bad news for 2025. Two hunting accidents in Louisiana involving hunters shooting other hunters. One was fatal. We'll talk about those. And the question that is going around, are the penalties for accidental shootings harsh enough? Text your opinion along with your other comments and your questions and with your fishing and hunting reports. If you had a good fresh or saltwater fishing trip this week, had a good deer hunt, maybe a duck hunting trip, and you want to share that information with our audience, please do so. We'll add it to the reports that we get from our professional captains and marina operators. And you can do that by texting your message real time into the studio at 504-260-1870. Now, we're going to go back to last week just for a second. There was a question that came up from a listener we didn't have time for about castable depth and fish finders. Well, I did a little research, and I've got some thoughts about them. What do you know? Have you ever had experience with a castable depth and fish finder? If you have, give me a little review. Tell me what you think about it, how you like it. Is it effective? And would you suggest that some of our other listeners maybe get one and put it to use? We'd love to hear from you this morning. Also have the story of Ohio's largest sentence ever handed down for a hunting violation in that state's history to a bad boy of the outdoors. And he's our guy this morning. We'll tell you what he did to earn that distinction. Coastal marine forecast, if you headed out, looks like this. Offshore, east winds 12 to 20 knots, pretty brisk, 2 to 3 foot seas. Climbing tomorrow to 3 to 5 foot seas, 20 to 25 knots as a frontal system approaches. I would imagine there's going to be a small craft warning going up for tomorrow. On the interior lakes and bays today, east wind 10 to 18. Duck hunters will love it, fishermen not so much. And tomorrow, a steady, strong wind south and southeast direction, 12 to 20 knots ahead of that approaching front. Got a lot of water moving out there this morning. 1.2 is your average tide range. And the Mississippi River is sitting at 6.2 feet and has a tendency to drop just a little bit. But we know the overall tendency on that river this time of the year is to pick up on the rise. Got a pinch hitter coming up next. We'll be talking to Glenn Sanchez. Been talking to him for several weeks. Robbie is finally going to be headed home this week from Kentucky, and I got an email from him or a text last night. He finally scored on a really nice buck, and he had to pull the old left-handed trick. Evidently, the buck came out on his right-hand side, and Robbie is a right-handed crossbow shooter and had to make the switch to the left hand. And didn't matter. He made a real good shot and sent a nice picture of a nice deer. We'll get the full story on his Kentucky trip when he returns next week. Got a report from Bent Rods Guide Service up in Toledo Bend. Despite some inclement weather conditions up there, the good fishing still continues this winter. We'll pass that along to you. We're also going to talk to Kirk Stansel. Check him out over there in Hackberry. Get a western side of the state fishing and hunting report for the ducks. Brendan Bayard's got your paddlers report. Ryan Lambert's down in Burris. Captain Mike Gallo will check in with us a little bit later on. And on the island of Grand Isle, Darrell Carpenter keeps us up to date on what's happening there. So there's your lineup, plus all of the information that our listeners give us each and every week. If you've got some vital information to pass along to our listening audience, we'd love to hear from you. Again, our text number is 504-260-1870. It comes in real time right here to the studio. Only time to send it, though, is when we're on the air. Otherwise, we're not monitoring it. And please don't try to attach any photos or videos. You can't do it on that particular text board, but you can email it to me. You go to my website, DonTheOutdoorsGuy.com. Look for the contact button, and we welcome all photos and videos. All right, coming back after this, Glenn Sanchez has your St. Bernard Parish Fishing Report next on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. Now, let's hope the speckled trout are listening to that song and they are interested in some fresh shrimp this morning. Let's talk to Glenn Sanchez, filling in for a deer hunting Robbie Campo, who will be returning with his trophy next week. But until then, Glenn's got the handle on what's going on in St. Bernard. Good morning, Glenn. Happy New Year to you, buddy.
Can you get it up? Man, fishing's been off the chain. It's been fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, it's been one of the best seasons in a long time.
Yeah, I mean, I had grandkids with me Sunday, and we didn't leave till like 2 o'clock in the evening. We caught 25. I did 9 miles round trip. That was awesome. Then we went Monday. We couldn't put another fish in the box, and everybody I'm talking to is catching fish. So it's a wonderful time of the year, and they better hurry up and get them before this cold weather comes.
Yeah, it's going to be coming, and maybe you'll be limited to fishing. You know, we get that effect in Bayou Lutra because it's a little deeper water, and the redfish will stack up in there, you know. And we haven't had that for a while, so that might be something to look forward to with those icy, frigid temperatures coming.
But, yeah, no, if you're going to go fishing, this is the week to do it before this cold front. Because once that water temperature drops below 50, the trout really shut off. You know, I mean, you can go out there and catch reds and sheephead, but if you're looking for trout, you better get out there this week, the next couple of days.
Given the conditions you're looking at this morning, Glenn, where would be some suggestions for people to give it a shot? I know there's a lot of options out there right now.
There's so many options. I tell people, the best thing is fish where you know where you've caught fish before and fish around that set, because there's fish on the other side of the ship channel, on the north side, there's fish on the south side, there's fish in the channel, there's fish behind the dam, there's fish up the channel. You just need to go out there and try a few things, and when I say try and figure them out, I went New Year's Day by myself, and of course I didn't have any bait. And I was throwing plastic under a cork. I threw mirror lures. I didn't get a bite. Finally, I went to green beetles on the bottom, caught 15. But you had to move it very, very slow. You're getting into that pattern where it's getting cold. Water's getting cold. They want it slow. They don't want it fast.
Yeah, when you say slow, it's almost just dead stop and twitch it every now and then. And, boy, that bite
That's exactly what it was. When I say just laying it on the bottom, I was using double green matrix, laying it on the bottom, and they would just pick it up.
Yeah, that's a common mistake a lot of people make in cold weather is just fishing too fast. You just got to really slow it down to nothing.
Slow it down. And when I say I was moving it an inch, 2 inches at a time, just barely moving it. And all of you just feel that little tick, and that's when you got to set the hook. And you better not have a glass rod when they're doing that. You better have a graphite rod, because you're sure not going to feel that little tick, you know?
Yeah, and it helps to downsize a little bit on your line, too. You know, use that real
tight line. Yeah, well. I'm a power pro kind of guy myself.
I know you are.
I use 30 on everything.
I know you do. Yeah. I know you do. And you're good at it. You know, you're really good at it. You've been doing it a long time. Glenn, as far as somebody wanting to catch some fish other than trout, redfish, sheep's head, drum, same patterns?
Just get into a little bit deeper canal, 7-8 feet of water, find a turn, fish on the bottom with dead shrimp. Bam. If they're not in that turn, move to the next turn. They're going to be in one of those turns.
I got a photograph from an old friend of mine with a nice mess of ducks that he claimed he got near Shell Beach, going out of Shell Beach. Is the Biloxi Marsh picked up on the duck hunting? From some of the other people I heard, it was a little slow.
I think the second split's been a little bit better. I'm seeing a few more ducks in the marsh, not like I did years and years ago, but I mean, it's more than normal. And Zach went out yesterday, and Zach killed a limit of teal yesterday, and he was back early. Hmm. So they still have some birds flying around. You just need to be in the right spot at the right time.
Yeah, I think that's more than anything. You know, it's feast or famine when you got days like this, and maybe still got lots to go. Now it wraps up in the West Zone, which, you know, it's hard to imagine that Venice and St. Bernard Parish, the coastal areas are in the West Zone, but that's the way it's designed on the map. And it'll be shutting down tomorrow, and there'll be a third split. There's been some talk about whether we should have two splits or three splits, you know, give the ducks more of a rest. I don't know. I think a lot of it depends on what conditions you get, at what time the splits are in, and what time the season's open.
Well, I don't know how the ducks can rest anyway with these boat fishermen at night. That's one of the reasons I think they don't have many ducks down here, because they're running around all night. Every night they're running around out here. I mean, that spooks everything.
Yeah, and it's fine to do that, but, you know, when you got duck season in, you know, they should make an exemption and you know, hold it off until it's only about 60 days for the duck season, and You know, in those areas, there, it's just not conducive to go. I mean, if you're running around with a boat with lights all night and engines running, there's no way those ducks are going to be there in the morning.
No, they're going to leave and they're not coming back.
Yeah. Well, Glenn, been a pleasure talking to you. We'll be looking forward to getting Robbie back in here next week, and then you can get his reports and go catch his fish, right?
Yeah. Well, I do have some bad news that, and when I say bad news, they're just about out of shrimp down here because, you know, I tell people it is January and the shrimp are getting harder to come by, and I don't think they have many left. So just wanted to throw that to people in case they can pick them up someplace else, pick them up.
Yeah, because once they get down there, that's the last stop. You know, on the way down, they might want to stop. Robbie always updates us and kind of keeps us abreast. So shrimp are going to be
Tony at Bybee Avenue's got shrimp. So just want to give you a heads up so that they don't come down here and be disappointed for not having them. But, I mean, you can't be mad at the marina people in January for not having shrimp.
No, you can't get what's not there, so make sure you got some good
plastic. That's exactly right.
All right, Glenn, great talking to you as always, my friend. Look forward to seeing you and talking to you again sometime.
Thank you, Don. Y'all have a good one. Everybody stay safe.
Yes, indeed. Glenn Sanchez filling in for Robbie Campo down in Shell Beach. All right, we come back after this. We're going to talk a little bit about those two hunting accidents. One was a fatality, and both of these were totally avoidable. We'll explain to you the details, and, you know, I'm kind of wondering, the penalties for shooting another hunter, are they stiff enough? It's tougher when you shoot an animal by mistake, but what about a person? We'll be back to discuss that and a whole lot more, what you and I love to talk about every Saturday morning on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. Unfortunately, we have begun this year, this hunting season, with a couple of accidents from hunters. And normally we go through entire seasons without someone being shot accidentally by another hunter. This year we've had two so far that I'm aware of. One took place in the area of Zachary. Two hunters were hunting on land that were given permission to be there. It was on private property, but each did not know the other was there. One shot the other with 20-gauge buckshot, mistaking it, obviously, for a deer or other game. I don't really see an excuse for that, for deer hunting, to mistake a human for a deer. You've got to, when you're deer hunting, you're looking at the quality of the animal, the size, the sex. There's a lot of regulations that are in effect in some areas. In some areas, if people see a deer at all, they shoot at it or what they think is a deer. I don't know if the hunters in those instances were wearing hunter orange. I'm not aware if they had taken the hunter safety courses, which that is heavily covered if you take the hunter safety course, which is mandatory in this state and many, many others. The other one took place on a public area, the Sandy Hollow Wildlife Management Area in Tangipahoa. I'm very familiar with it. I've hunted there many times. Roberto Garcia, 61 years old, of Baton Rouge, was shot by a hunter while hunting there on the Sandy Hollow Management Area. The agents received information that the hunter was fatally shot about 8:45 a.m. 1 week ago today on December the 28th. Agents responded to the scene, and they found that Garcia had been hit by a .45 caliber muzzleloader load and had died before the first responders could arrive. The shooter's story was he was shooting at a deer and didn't know that Garcia was behind the deer due to vegetation. Our department is still investigating this, and we're waiting more results on what the outcome will be and if any charges will be filed. Again, hunter orange during deer season is vital. A lot of times hunters are not participating in deer hunting, so they think that they don't have to wear orange. And in some cases, duck hunters do not. But if you're going to be in the woods where there's active deer hunters, you need to wear orange, no matter if you're squirrel hunting or rabbit hunting or participating in other events that normally would not require you to have hunter orange unless a deer season is in effect. It's vital. It makes a huge difference as far as shooting at a deer and someone being behind it that you did not see. When you pull that trigger, you got to be responsible to not only identify your target, but what the background is, what's behind that target before you pull the trigger. Because once you pull the trigger and that bullet leaves or that round leaves, there's no calling it back. It's pretty final. So it's a sad situation, and if more information comes out about the investigation, we'll pass that along. All right, what is your thoughts on it? You know, there's been a long number of cases that I've covered over the years of people being shot, and sometimes hunters are charged with negligent homicide if there is some negligence shown on their part, but in many instances, the hunters are not charged. It's simply a case of mistaken identity and considered an unavoidable accident, and even though if you shoot a game animal by mistake, you can get heavily fined, particularly in the case of a bear. It's a $10,000 fine. If you mistake a bear thinking it's a black hog, you're going to pay the price for what you did. And in the case of human shootings, injuries, and fatalities, it's not always the case. Anyway, love to hear what you think about it. 504-260-1870. Let me get to some of our text messages that are coming in this morning. Let's see. We've got this one. Tomorrow is the day with a strong south wind. That's Captain Mike Smith. Yeah, there's going to be a pretty brisk wind today, east 10 to 18. But tomorrow, as that front approaches closer, south to southeast winds 12 to 20 knots. It's going to be humping for sure tomorrow and bringing in a lot of high water, I would think, along with it. And we've got this one in from my buddy Captain Ryan. He's been working over that, Robin, that is. He's been working over the Venice area, and he says it's been phenomenal. Closing the season in the middle of January in the West Zone makes absolutely no sense, and why does the East Zone only have two splits as well? This has got to be addressed for next year. That's from Captain Robin. Well, they take hunter surveys and testimony, and evidently the hunters in the West Zone were in favor of the three splits, where the East Zone hunters were in favor of two. It's kind of like the youth and the veterans hunt. One, they're on both days of a weekend, and the other one in the East Zone, they split it. They put one in the front and went on the back end of the hunt. But got to have your voices heard and make your points, and hopefully you can get it the way you'd like to see it. We're hearing some Happy New Year's. Justin, the duck guy. Justin, you getting any ducks this year since you're the duck guy? Let us know. All right, we got some more texts. We'll get back to those. And also got a Toledo Bend fishing report. That fishing continues to be great up there at Toledo Bend from Captain Josh Sykes of Bent Rods Guide Service. We'll have his report coming back next. And we'll also do a little bit of a review on those castable depth and fish finders. Have you had any experience with them? If you have, let me know what you think about it. 504-260-1870. We'll be back in this right after this three-minute pause on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And when you're sending your text, it would be nice if you sent us a name, either your handle or your first name or first and last name, whatever, but it's not necessary. We got a good report here from someone that says the trout have been down in Dulac 18 to 19 inches and limits in no time. Glad to hear that. Our friend Wingbone, he hunted 2 days in Alabama this week, deer hunting. Didn't get a deer, but nice to be in the woods. That's the attitude, Wingbone. It's getting out there that counts, my friend. Nice to get a deer. We'll put a little venison in the freezer every now and then. The Backstrap Stacker, also an Alabama hunter. He says 2025 is off to a great start up here in the woods. We've taken out a good 10-point, thinned out some does. The bucks are still in pre-rut up here. I think after the big chill next week, the rut will be kicking off. Happy New Year. Yeah, well, the rut here in Louisiana in most areas is in prime time right now. But, of course, Alabama, known for its late rut in late January, as a matter of fact. All right, when we come back after this quick 10-second pause, I've got a fishing report for Toledo Bend. If you're interested in going up there, the bite's been really good. We'll check in with Josh Sykes has to say about it with Bent Rods Guide Service. But first, we let our local stations identify themselves on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. Well, if you like to catch crappie, white perch, sockeye, whatever you want to call them, right now has been a great time to get up to Toledo Bend. The bite continues again this week. I had a bunch of days that were limited out fishing the brush piles in the mid-lake area using shiners and those 1/32nd-ounce jigs with a number 2 split shot put on about 18 inches above your jig. The north end of the lake has got a lot of trash and mud in the water from all the rain they've gotten. And with the cold weather coming, expect the crappie to move out to the river channel, and they will get in those root balls in 18 to 20 feet in the chicken coop area. So there's your forecast for the coming week. For the bass side, it was a little tougher this week, but the rising water, that always scatters the fish to the deeper waters. As the week moved on, the shad and the bass began to show back up on the main lake flats in 30 to 35 foot and suspended at about 15 foot deep. A scope shad and an Alabama rig fished right over the top of the bass chasing the shad was the way they caught most of all their fish in the deep water. They also caught some fish in Housen and 6 Mile, fishing the grass in 4 to 8 feet of water. And here's a couple baits. If you're headed up there, you might want to bring a red rattle trap and a green pumpkin chatterbait. And we thank Josh Sykes with Bent Rods Guide Service for providing us with those tips and information on fishing up in Toledo Bend. It's really been a great fall and winter up there, and no reason that shouldn't continue for several more weeks. All right, getting back to our text messages, let's see. We got this one from Bill Smith from Deland, Florida. He's a 30-plus year listener. Well, congratulations, and he congratulates us on another year of delivering informative, entertaining, and great weekly programs. We appreciate you listening over there in Florida, Bill. And here's a comment on the Sandy Hollow incident. It says, I hunt Sandy Hollow only for squirrels. I refuse to deer hunt on a WMA. The only way it will be safe to hunt is when designated deer stands are taken by hunters at self-clearing permit stations. Every hunter should know by some type of check-in method that someone is hunting on a certain location. Yeah, in theory, that sounds great. Pulling something off like that, it would be rather difficult, but certainly there's some things. Hunter Orange, maybe not allowing people to hunt deer from the ground, maybe only from elevated stands would eliminate some of the danger there. It would be great to be able to have set up deer stands and people get drawn by lottery or whatever. You know, but what happens if somebody goes out there in the morning and make the effort to get there and they don't get drawn for one of those particular stands? You'd have to be out there extra early. What I'm saying is it would take a lot of coordination to pull something like that off, but I know it's done in other areas. All right, we have Chip Clement. He's passing through what he calls the speed trap called Golden Meadow. I tell you, the back road in Golden Meadow is not near so bad as the road along the bayou. Whew, man, that one. Yeah, used to get people got a lot of tickets on there, and I guess it's still going on. When you're going through Golden Meadow, do not go above the speed limit. You really shouldn't anywhere you drive. We got Bert Bro from Solitude Plantation Lozas in Iberia Parish, fifth generation sugarcane plantation. You know, I was driving back through some sugarcane country from my travels last week, and I was surprised to see that, you know, how late some of the sugarcane is coming out. I guess there's some different subspecies that is harvested later, and some of it was in pretty, I guess you'd say, either early or later developments, stages of development. I was, you know, surprised to see some of it still in the field. Anyway, maybe you could fill us in a little bit on the changes that we've had in the traditional sugarcane crop in Louisiana. All right, we got Steel Man checking in and several other texters. We'll get to as many of those as we can. Also want to talk about the castable fish finders and depth finders. Has anyone out there used one of those? Do you have a review? Would you recommend it? Did it work for you? 504-260-1870. Plus, we got fishing reports to get to and a whole lot more coming your way right here on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. If you were tuned in last week, you know it was our traditional Baddest of the Bad Boy show where the audience decided on our Baddest of the Bad, and we were quite busy. And I had a text came in from a listener about a castable fish finder and depth finder, and did a little research on it during the week. And in case you're not familiar with this, they're basically portable fish finders. You know, they have the live scopes now that you can put on boats and kayaks, but this is primarily designed for, although it could be used on a boat, for people casting from the bank. And you basically cast it out, a transducer, on a float, and it goes down and looks, and you have either a receiver or you use your cell phone, depending on the model, and it gives you a picture of the bottom, the depth, and where the fish are located, and also the underwater structure. And most of the reviews, if you put faith in reviews on products, were pretty positive. They range in price anywhere from, I found one for $42, and they go up to about $300, depending on the features and the quality. But anyway, I've never used one, and I don't know if anyone out there listening has. And if you have, tell me, does it work for you? Has it paid off? 504-260-1870 is our text line. All right, let's see. Any report on Area 4, Slidell Area Rut? Well, let me tell you about ruts. Ruts, basically, deer movement can be enhanced by weather, but deer movement during rut is based on the length of the day. So whatever time the rut is primarily in the area you hunt, it is going to be on every year at that time. Now, certainly weather patterns can influence it. It can slow it down. It can enhance it. But for the most part, it is based on the length of the day. And Area 4 is one of those areas where it should be prime time. Christmas to New Year's and the week after that is generally when the most peak is. And I'm getting reports that the deer are on the move. People are seeing, get a lot of daylight pictures on their cameras. All right, we're hearing from Frankie D, the guy I call the king of the tick farm. He's going to be refurbishing his Saco Lake condos on the tick farm. He's got PJ and Brennan helping him dump the Christmas trees. Hopefully they'll show back up this spring. And he also says he's got good speckled trout in the Myrtle Grove Canal, too. All right, looking forward to all of that. Here's a really sad story. This one says, 50 years ago, I was working in Virginia, and a grandfather mistook his grandson for a deer and shot and killed him. 24 hours later, the grandfather took his life. Two generations gone as a result of ignorance. This was near Bedford, Virginia. And that is probably one of the saddest endings to a hunting story you'll ever hear. And if there's anything good comes out of these kind of stories, is it maybe makes someone else more aware and more alert and more careful when they're out there. And we don't know how many potential fatalities and injuries have been avoided because of good common sense and awareness from hunters. And that's all you can do is spread the word, and hopefully everybody behaves in a responsible manner. All right, Roland Cortez, our duck hunting and goose hunting guide buddy, says they haven't. He's up at Dave's Bayou, the crew. They're having a good year on the ducks up there. And let's see, we got, thank you, yes, sir, thank you for inquiring. This is a follow-up on the sugar. Sugar cane is a $2 billion industry. We are following along with our current farmer's decision to harvest our sugar cane at his discretion. The later cutting of cane may be the amounts of sugar cane being harvested now, as demands for it are showing signs of improving, and the demand seems to be holding steady. Well, thank you very much for that update. I was commenting about that on our ride back from Kansas and Texas. All right, Lafitte LT, sad accidents. Maybe they should take an eyesight test, just like for a driver's license. You should be able to see what you are shooting at. Yeah, another good suggestion. Again, responsibility is the key. All right, I want to tell you about next week. Boy, I got an exciting hunt coming up next weekend. We're going to be hunting with Derek Poore. Also, some of the folks from Hunters for the Hungry. Will Clark, a former Major League Baseball player with the San Francisco Giants, is a volunteer with Hunters for the Hungry. He's going to be accompanying with us, and another representative will be coming up there, Travis Lynx. And we're going to be using some thermal imaging scopes to hunt hogs, which, you know, feral hogs are pretty much public enemy number one in these parts and many other parts of the country, doing a lot of damage, and regulations have been relaxed to take them, and hunting them at night is one of them. And part of the effort is going to be to promote the Troops and Tusks tournament, which is another effort to reduce the amount of hogs. And, of course, Hunters for the Hungry, they welcome all types of game being brought in to provide needed protein for the less fortunate. We're going to be guests at Bob and Jody Fontenot's place over near Pecan Island. And we're also going to have a guest appearance from Chef Philippe Parola. He tells me he's got a method where he can remove the tenderloins and the hams from a feral hog in a matter of minutes, which is really good news for those of you who hunt in very remote places where it's hard to get them packed in and out of there. This would be some very good instruction. We plan to shoot a Bayou Wild TV video of the whole thing, and you'll get to watch it on an upcoming episode. All right, speaking of upcoming next, we got fishing reports. Darrell Carpenter is coming up right after this break. We're going to talk to him about fishing down in the Grand Isle area in the wintertime. Not a whole lot of people do it, but when conditions are right, it can be very good. We'll be back to talk to Darrell right after this on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And reporting for his very first fishing report of 2025 is Captain Carpenter, Darrell Carpenter of RealScreamers.com. Darrell, how's it going?
Man, it's going pretty good, Don. The wind started blowing down here a couple hours ago, and you know, I guess it's ahead of that daggum front, so I hadn't really been keeping a whole, you know, real close watch on it. But yeah, it's picked up a little bit to where it might make the rest of the weekend challenging if that's the way it's going to be. But other than that, man, it was a great week. There was a lot of fish caught this week. Side of the road still been doing good, and I'm going to tell you, the hot spot's probably Golden Nut and Catfish Lake. Got some really, really good reports of some really nice fish coming out of Catfish Lake. It continues, you know. I mean, I got people calling me, you know, telling me, hey, man, can you believe, and these are old deckhands and stuff that used to work for me, but it's like, man, can you believe we're catching 20-inch trout this time of the year in Catfish Lake? I'm like, yeah. You know, it was that kind of a summer. We had a great year all summer, and it looks like it's continuing into the wintertime. You know, it was one of those, you get these fluctuations, you know, sometimes they last 2 or 3 years in the population where everybody was scratching their head wondering where are the speckled trout at, you know, catches were down a little bit, had knee-jerk reactions where limits and all were adjusted, and all of a sudden, boom, the very year goes into effect, here they come back, you know.
Boy, talk about instant results, huh?
Yeah. That's the sad thing. The sad thing is it'll probably get the credit for it.
Yeah. Well, what are the techniques they're using to catch those fish?
Well, it's been rather warm. We all know that. So they're still catching them under a cork and are on the bottom working it slow. Now, of course, that's going to change when this cold front comes through and knocks the water temperature down. It's going to put it to where just about all of your action is going to come, you know, sitting on the bottom, working it real slow. But, I mean, the water temperature has been up. Water temperature has been up in the mid-60s this past week. So it's not like those fish are real cold and real lethargic. So it's been a variety. I mean, you can catch it on jerk baits. You can catch them on, you know, this time of the year, there's less food in the marsh. So there's a wider variety of baits that they'll hit because they're looking for anything to eat. So, it's like I said, it's been all over the board. But once this front comes through and knocks that water temperature back down, then it's going to be kind of put the corks up, start working it slower, let it hit the bottom, and work it that way.
What are these lower temperatures when they get here going to do to that side of the road fishing on Highway 1?
Well, Don, if history holds, you know, if history holds, then it's going to make, that's going to be your hot spot. I mean, it just seems like the colder it gets, the nastier it gets, that side of the road, and maybe it's because that's where people concentrate because you don't want to be out in a boat, that is always been your hot spot. I mean, it's like those fish just, and, you know, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. I wish I had the answer to know why those fish get in. I don't know if they get trapped in there. I don't know if it's just the environment. But as it gets colder and nastier, that should be your hot spot.
Yeah, well, I imagine it would have to do with, although it's not very deep in there, but, you know, every little extra inch of depth provides a little bit more warmth for the fish. So I guess that's what's drawing them in there.
Yeah, that, and, I mean, if there's a gulf effect, if you will, you know, because we see the water temperature rise on these big tide days like today during that high tide, which is at night now. But during that high tide, you'll see the water temperature rise with that water coming in from the Gulf. And being that is the first place that Gulf warm water hits, that could be a factor in it also.
Mm-hmm. Darrell, is somebody coming down there and expecting to find any kind of live bait? Should they bring their own cast net, or is there any chance that some of those bait shops will have it down there?
Well, I saw the bait boats out yesterday, which means that there is something for them to catch because they're there. There were several shrimp boats working the beach. This time of the year, you get a lot of stuff in the deeper holes as far as catching shrimp and stuff.
your shrimp gathering your deeper holes, and that's maybe a reason why those fish are there. But yeah, there should be, as long as there's a market to sell them, they'll be out there trying. And here in the next couple of weeks, if you start getting funny looking shrimp, don't worry about it, people. The fish will eat them too. They're called sea bobs because the boats working the beach are going to start. You know, they're going to start bringing in those sea bobs, and they're a little bit harder to keep alive. And for people that don't know, if you get a shrimp that's got six whiskers and looks a little funny and fuzzy on the head, that's a sea bob. But, I mean, the fish will eat them, too.
It wasn't because he was passing by a nucleocide or anything like that.
It's just right.
Darryl, give out your contact info. If somebody wants to get a hold of you, find out information about fishing the Grand Isle or booking a trip with you.
Well, Don, I mean, when they're checking up on the outdoor stories, they can find me at your website at DonTheOutdoorsGuy.com. They can find me at RealScreamers.com, or they can just pick up the phone at 225-937-6288.
All right, my friend. Sounds good. Thank you for the report, and we look forward to a whole another year of them coming this way.
Yes, sir, and stay warm because it's coming.
Yes, it is. Darryl Carpenter, RealScreamers.com. All right, when we come back after the top of the hour break, I'll get to some more of your text messages. If you'd like to shoot us one, reports, comments, questions, 504-260-1870. We'll also be talking to Captains Gallo, Brendan Bayard with a paddler report, Captain Ryan Lambert and Captain Kirk Stansel with combination duck and fish reports, all coming your way on the Outdoors with Don W. Radio Network.